Hello and welcome to the Brooks McDonald podcast in association with HFP.
Hello and welcome to the latest update from Brooks McDonald. I'm Henrietta Walker and I'm joined by my colleagues Frank Atkins, Head of Multi-Asset Investment Team, and Mariella Rice-Jones, Responsible Investment Analyst. So Frank, last couple of months of 2023, we saw the rally in everything, it seemed, but it feels like 2024 has started on a more muted note. But what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, thanks, Henrietta. It's certainly been an interesting period over the last few months. If we cast our mind back to the summer, we'd just been through a period where bond yields in the US had spiked up quite significantly. That was after oil had risen quite significantly as well, and that brought back concerns about upward pressure on inflation. That rise in yields catalyzed some equity weakness, which persisted until around November. And then in November, what we saw was a US inflation number which came in a little bit below the market's expectations. And this was taken by the bond market, especially to mean that we had perhaps seen peak interest rates. Now, that drove bond prices down. That also catalyzed a rally in equities. And then in December, fuel was added to that fire when Jerome Powell, who is the chair of the US Federal Reserve, indicated for the first time that they were looking at cutting interest rates in 2024. And as you mentioned, that was a bit of an everything rally, which lasted really for the vast majority of December. Now, in the early part of this year, we've seen the market dialing back some of those interest rate cut expectations. And so what that means in general terms is that bond yields move back higher, bond prices go lower. And also we've seen some weakness within equities outside of the US mega cap technology companies, which have continued their rally.
Okay, so quite a lot going on then to think about. How would you position portfolios in this challenging backdrop?
Within equities, we maintain a fully balanced exposure. We don't want to be overweight to either the equity styles of growth or cyclical value. We have our US exposure predominantly through thematic equities. We have dedicated technology, healthcare, and sustainable funds. And then on the barbell side of things, we have the UK equity market, which offers some diversification across energy and commodities and oil and gas, and also in Asia ex Japan. China has shown some weakness recently, so it's been good that we've not been overweight to China. And again, we have balanced exposure across the region, in particular to India. Within fixed income, we have a short duration preference. That means that the bond funds that we hold tend to be less sensitive to movements in interest rate expectations. And that means if we do see interest rates stay high or perhaps inflation expectations rise again, then the capital values of those bond funds should perform quite well.
That's great. Thank you, Frank. And turning to you, Mariella, how was 2023 from the point of view of the responsible investor?
So in 2023, we saw positive absolute returns from responsible investment portfolios. However, on a relative basis compared to core portfolios, it was generally a more difficult, challenging period. And this is partly because many of the themes and sectors that are central to tackling sustainability challenges are sensitive to interest rates. And that was a major headwind in the first three quarters of 2023 in the environment of rising interest rates and inflation. If we consider renewable energy more specifically, the sector was hard hit by higher borrowing costs and higher input costs for key raw materials. And these factors meant that projects were made unviable and could not be delivered on time or at all. And this weighed heavily on market sentiment towards the sector. Alongside this, many responsible portfolios would not have had the same level of exposure to the Magnificent Seven, so the large cap US tech names that really dominated the market last year. And this would have also contributed to the tougher period of performance that the responsible investors have seen.
Okay, great. And given that we're most likely at the peak of interest rates, what are the reasons to be positive about responsible investing right now?
Yes. So despite the short-term challenges, the transition to a more sustainable economy fundamentally has not been derailed. And we still strongly believe in the long-term structural growth drivers behind companies that are tackling environmental and social challenges. So those drivers, we believe, remain intact. If we think, you know, policy and regulation is really creating some powerful tailwinds, increased government support for climate action means that we should see stronger growth for companies providing decarbonisation solutions and companies that are adapting their business models to align with the net zero transition. Policy initiatives such as the US Inflation Reduction Act and the EU Green Deal, as well as the global commitments we saw at COP28 to triple renewable energy capacity by 2030 and to double energy efficiency in that time span. You know, all of these should lead to increased demand for climate technologies. And irrespective of the outcome of elections in 2024, the pressure for governments and the need for governments to manage climate change, the risks of climate change, and to invest in climate mitigation and adaptation is not going anywhere.
That's great. So it sounds like not only have we got a more positive macroeconomic environment, but we've got positive government policies that will provide tailwinds to responsible investing. Thank you very much for joining us. For more information, please go to our website.